ready? Who wants to get a picture? Say hi, girls.
Trinity Hack is probably the youngest advocate at the State House today. At 16 months old, she's ready to head home to Roselle in northern Illinois after having spent several hours in Springfield while her parents spoke with journalists and legislators. Trinity's blonde hair is pulled up with a pink bow. She's dressed in polka dot pants and eating Teddy Grahams as she waits for the long drive back home this afternoon. Her mother, Christy, tells me about how Trinity became a part of her family, which also includes her husband and six-year-old son.
We got a phone call on a Thursday evening at 7:15 at night from our adoption agency. She had said that a safe haven baby had been relinquished at a fire department earlier that day, and if we wanted her, we could bring her home on Saturday. And we had 36 hours notice, and we brought home our baby girl right before Thanksgiving as well.
So a whirlwind, though?
Absolute whirlwind. That Friday, we went to the store running around picking up stuff for her. We actually were going to have a Thanksgiving party on Saturday, and I had to call all my friends to cancel that party because instead of having a party, we were bringing home baby. So I had already had all the food and everything, and my brother-in-law's like, let's order pizza. And I'm like, well, my husband said we have turkey stuffing and all that. Why don't we do that? So my brother came over, put together the turkey stuffing and everything. So when we brought her home from the hospital, we opened the door literally to a Thanksgiving dinner and the screams and shouts of joy from my whole family. She was born on Wednesday evening around midnight. She was dropped off around noon on Thursday. We brought her home Saturday.
And so obviously, in some cases, you do know the parent of the child. In your case, not.
We know nothing. I fear that a lot of people think it's a bad thing to relinquish your child, and of course, an adoption plan would be ideal, but what we knew about my daughter's birth mom is she didn't know she was pregnant, and so she couldn't make that adoption plan, like, maybe typical. And so I just want to say that I feel nothing but absolute love and gratitude to her birth mom for choosing life for her and choosing to do that for her instead of doing the alternative.
Every state in the country now has some version of what's commonly referred to as the baby safe haven law. Over 3,000 babies have been surrendered anonymously through it. In Illinois, the law went into effect in 2001, and over 100 babies have been relinquished to adoptive families. For our state, there was one woman who got the ball rolling. Don Garris is the founder and president of the Save Abandoned Babies Foundation, based in Chicago.
Actually, similar to the story that just broke in the news about the U of I student, there had been another situation like that, and that morning I was sitting reading about it in the newspaper. It hit me so much that I started crying, and I could start crying all over again when I think about a newborn baby, in that case, been thrown into a garbage can, ignited with lighter fluid to destroy the evidence. And I thought, oh my God, why is that happening? Knowing there are so many people go to bed at night wishing they had a baby. I got together some of my friends from the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and I said, hey guys, read this story. We need to do something. We didn't know what. We then found out the only way to do something was actually to sit around and to draft and write legislation for the state of Illinois. I'm not a lawyer. But we wrote the legislation, we took it to Springfield, where we are today, and we sort of kind of told the legislators, you know what, you have to pass this. Babies' lives are counting on you.
And so you're at the Capitol today, obviously, still advocating for this cause, and as you mentioned, the news of a U of I student who was found with a deceased newborn in her backpack shows that this is still necessary, but talk a little bit about why you're still having to advocate for a law that went into effect in 2001.
Because, and I would ask each person that is listening to this right now, do you know about what the Baby Safe Haven Law is? I ask this to people all the time, and most of the time people say, no, not really. What is that? I say, you know, it's really simple. You can turn in an unharmed baby 30 days old or younger to any staff at a hospital, police, or fire station. Walk away. You don't have to answer any questions. You will not be prosecuted. You get to remain anonymous. And you know what? That baby will be placed into a loving, adoptive, forever home.
As you mentioned, not everybody knows about that. So I take it one of the challenges is getting people educated that it even exists, and how do you go about doing that?
It's a good question, and we're trying to figure out the ways to get the word out. We are 100% volunteer, so if anybody is listening and they can help us, and you'd be surprised what everybody can do, this idea of playing things forward. We've got material available on our website, which is www.saveabandonedbabies.org. The material is free. We can mail you out brochures, posters, for you to take to your school, your place of worship, where you work, the library, the dry cleaners. I don't care where you take it, but take the material out and distribute it. This is your personal opportunity to make a life or death difference. Simple as that.
So how many babies have been surrendered since the law went into effect?
112.
What happened? So the women, obviously, or whoever ends up being the person who surrenders the baby stays anonymous, as you mentioned. What happens to the child, though? What kind of process?
It is such a beautiful process they go through. It chokes me up to think about it. What happens, though, is the baby is brought to the hospital. Every baby, knock on wood, but every baby, 112 babies have been totally healthy, wonderful, wonderful newborn babies. One of the 12 adoption agencies that we work with on a rotating basis is called by the Department of Children and Family Services to tell them, we've got a baby at such and such hospital. Do you maybe have anybody in your adoption agency waiting for a newborn baby? Hello? That agency then decides which family to get that special phone call. They call the family, and you can ask the moms and dads that are here today. They're asked, would you like a newborn baby? And they're speechless sort of at first, and they go like, oh my gosh. And they're literally told, go to the hospital and pick him up. He's yours.
The law keeps the baby out of foster care and lets them go directly to one of the hundreds of adoptive families in the state waiting for a newborn. Some of the families have been waiting several years for the phone call telling them one is available. Lori Miller Nicholson from Champaign and her wife had been waiting for nearly 2 years when they got the phone call that a baby girl had been surrendered through the law and was at the hospital ready to pick up.
Did you know about the law before?
I had heard of it, but only that. I had just heard of it. Our agency had not really talked to us about it. I think I just heard of it through news. But soon after we brought Aiden Jane home, we were contacted by Dawn Garris. And since then, we've come into the fold, into the family of Save Abandoned Baby. I mean, obviously, it's very important to get the word out about the Safe Haven law. And as Christy referred to, the incident at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign campus really illustrates that. If this young lady had known about the Safe Haven law, maybe, just maybe, she would have made a decision that allowed her baby boy to live and that did not end his life and ruin her life and the lives of others. So education is vitally important. And it was amazing to me today as we talked to senators, administrative assistants, or to senators, how many people still don't know about the Safe Haven law. It's a bit shocking.
Miller Nicholson's daughter, Aiden Jane, is now an 8-year-old, one with a very normal life. She loves reading Harry Potter books. Her two moms are the only parents she'll ever remember. But even at her young age, she's able to give credit to her birth mother for making the hard choice that has brought her here today. She talks about why she joined her mom at the State House.
Because I wanted to make people aware of the Safe Haven law and how it affects other people and other children. And I obviously wouldn't be here today if my mom hadn't done the right thing and made the choice to drop me off at the hospital.